Father, we thank you and bless you for just being God in our lives. We thank you for being a God who can be sought and found. For so many of us, you showed up when we needed you the most. And that's why we trust you. And that's why we thank you. I pray now, God, that the great seed of your word will find good soil in the hearts and minds of your people, so that we would be more than just hearers of your word. Help us to be doers as well. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever loaned someone something? Let me see your hands if you've loaned somebody something, right? Maybe it was a lawnmower or a tool. Maybe it was a book. For most of you, it was some money. And typically when we make a loan to somebody, we do it with the hope that that person will return whatever we loan to them. But what do you do when the person you loaned something to does not return what you loaned to them? A book or maybe an article of clothing or money? Right? I had a brother walk up to me one time. He said, man, listen, man, can you let me have $25, man? I just need $25, man, just to make it to the end of the week. I said, brother, I said, you know, I would love to give you $25, and I would be able to if you paid me back the $25 I loaned you before. Needless to say, he left without the $25, right? The truth is, many times, we decide whether or not we're going to loan somebody something based on whether or not we like the person and based on whether or not we believe they're trustworthy enough that they are going to at least make the effort to repay or give back what we loan them. And hopefully they won't be like some folk if you remind them. You know, some folk get offended when you remind them of the money they owe you after you loaned it to them, right? What, you think I'm not going to pay it back? Well, it's been a year, you know. Our foundational verse today is one of the most breathtaking truths in all of Scripture because it articulates a relationship between the poor and the Lord. The writer of Proverbs says that when you bless the poor, God becomes your debtor. The Lord ties his name and reputation to the way you treat the needy. It's not just a donation when you give. God says it is a divine investment. Today, for a few moments, I want to talk to you from the thought when generosity becomes a loan to God. When generosity becomes a loan to God. I mean, if you're going to question whether or not you're going to make a loan to anybody, the one person you should never question making a loan to is God. Because number one, he's trustworthy. And number two, we know he knows how to pay you back. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. And for those of you who are watching, you can go to our website, goodhope.org, and find an outline, or you can download our church app. After shining the light upon the forsaken condition of the poor, Solomon gives great assurance to you when you reach out to help the poor. Our culture says invest where you get a return, but God says invest where others have no return so that you can get a return from him. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. Three things I want you to see in this verse, very simple principles that I believe if you put them into practice will give you peace when you make an investment in those who are less fortunate than yourself. Number one, you need to be a person who gives compassion. You need to be a person who gives compassion. I don't want you to be a compassionate person and it's not evident in you giving compassionately. Verse 17, the A part, Proverbs chapter 19. Whoever is generous to the poor. The New Living Translation translates that portion of the scripture. If you help the poor, not in a subjunctive mood expressing doubt, but rather pointing out the possibility and the potential and the choice that all of us have to make. All of us have the opportunity to be a blessing to somebody else. So the writer says, whoever is generous to the poor, since we all have the opportunity, we must choose generosity. That word for generous means to show favor, to be gracious, to be merciful to be compassionate to go the extra step, to go the extra mile. It gives this picture of walking up to somebody who is poor, somebody who is suffering a need, and instead of you requiring them to come to you, you are willing to bend over to them to give them whatever help and assistance is needed. It's interesting because being compassionate is a choice, but it isn't optional. God says it's essential. You have to be willing to go to where people are, serving and helping them the way they need to be helped, being the heart and hands of God. Let me tell on a couple of groups today. I won't tell you the name to protect the guilty. One of our groups went to a place to serve, and they walked in ready to serve, and the service project was cleaning out a really dirty and filthy area that was left that way by some clients. And one of the members had a problem with that. I ain't come here to serve like that. I ain't come here to clean up and get in all that mess, right? Because they wanted something a little chicer, a nicer place to serve. Group leader reminded them of something that I've told you all often. If the task is too low for you, the problem is you're too high. When we go to serve, we don't serve because it's convenient. We serve because it's needed, because it's necessary. We wanted to do a blood drive here at the church, and we're trying to decide when we were going to do it, and we were going to do it on a Saturday, and because we have a lot of traffic here, the food pantry and other people, and somebody said, I don't know if the blood bank would want that kind of blood. I said, are they vampires? What kind of blood is it? Not knowing that most of the blood that's in the blood bank is not donated, it is sold by poor people who live off of donating blood. Because most of y'all don't go and donate on a regular basis. But folk who need the money who go and sell their blood go every chance they get to multiple plasma centers. My brothers and sisters, we can't see ourselves as better than, especially when we used to be them. Because some of you haven't always lived where you live. Some of you haven't always driven what you're driving. You haven't always worn what you're wearing. You haven't always eaten where you are eating now. You have been blessed by God. And God says, don't live in your blessing and forget how to be a blessing to somebody else. A man once said, I can't help everyone, but I can help someone. And so he made it his goal every week to bless at least one person. Every week he made it his business to make sure that he gave somebody a blessing who could never repay them. Every week he would buy a meal, he would give a ride, or he would give them a kind word to somebody who could not give back to him. At his funeral, countless someone showed up to testify about his goodness, his kindness, and how he changed their lives. My brothers and my sisters, can I tell you a little secret? I've done hundreds of funerals in my lifetime. I have never had a funeral that I have been a part of where people came and testified about the net worth of the person who was being funeralized. Nobody's ever come to talk about how much they had, what they drove, where they lived, what they wore. You know what they talked about? They talked about how the person made them feel and how they were better because of that person's encouragement. I just want to let somebody know you can't do everything, but you can do something. Ask yourself, who around me is waiting for the kindness of God to show up through me? Look at Proverbs 22:9. Blessed are those who are generous because they feed the poor. Proverbs 28:17, the New Living Translation. Let's read it together. Whoever gives to the poor will lack nothing, but those who close their eyes to poverty will be cursed. Matthew 10, verses 40 through 42. Anyone who receives you receives me, and anyone who receives me, the Father who sent me. If you receive a prophet as one who speaks for God, you will be given the same reward as a prophet. And if you receive righteous people because of their righteousness, you will be given a reward like theirs. And if you give even a cup of cold water to one of the least of my followers, you will surely be rewarded. First thing you need to know, you need to be a person who gives compassion. Here's the second thing, number two. You need to realize you have a partner in your compassion. You have a partner in your compassion. Look at Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17, the B part. Lends to the poor. Whoever is generous to the righteous lends to the Lord. The New International Version said, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord. If you help the poor, the New Living Translation says, you are lending to the Lord. Your partner in compassion is God. Now, I want you to get what this proverb is saying. When you give to God, God says you're giving back what he's given to you. But God says when you give to the poor, you're making a loan to the Lord. Now, y'all, I don't know who wouldn't be willing to make a loan to certain people. Like, for example, if I had a chance to make a loan to Warren Buffett, I think it's pretty safe. Warren's going to pay me back. Right? I think he'd probably pay me back because I think he's got enough that, you know, he could handle the debt, right? God says, when you give to me, you're giving back what I've given to you. But when you give to the poor, you make a loan to me. What is a gift to the poor is a loan to the Lord. And here's why it's important. Because God says, whatever you give to the poor, I am the co-signer on that loan. God says, I stand for the loan. I co-sign for myself on what you give to the poor. I take it personally. Here's why. God says the poor are not his project, they're his people. Just like you're his people. A little girl once gave her lunch to a hungry man on the street. And when her mother asked her, why? She said, because Jesus said, if I feed him, it's like I'm feeding Jesus. And so many times we miss the opportunity to bless God by being a blessing to other people. See, when you give, you can't see it as losing. You got to see it as winning. I've never given in an offering and missed what I gave. I've never walked down the street and God said, bless this person. And God put the amount on my mind and it was more than I wanted to give, but God knew I already had it because he knew what was in my pocket. And I've never blessed anybody the way the Lord told me to bless them and missed it. I never sat back a week later and said, man, you know, I shouldn't have done that. Because God knows how to make up whatever I give, because I can't outgive God's generosity to me. Look at Deuteronomy 15, start at verse 7. But if there are any poor Israelites in your towns when you arrive in the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Instead, be generous and lend them whatever they need. Do not be mean-spirited and refuse someone a loan because the year for canceling debts is close at hand. See, you got to understand, right, there was a year that would come, and in that year, everybody's debt was canceled. And here's what God says. Don't sit there and say you're not going to give them a loan a few months before the year that the debt is canceled because you know you won't get paid all your money back. If you refuse to make the loan and the needy person cries out to the Lord, I'm in verse 9, you will be considered guilty of sin. Verse 10, give generously to the poor, not grudgingly. For the Lord your God will bless you in everything you do. There will always be some in the land who are poor. That is why I am commanding you to share freely with the poor and with other Israelites in need. In 2005, when Hurricane Katrina hit the Gulf Coast region, and we had some 200,000 plus people from Louisiana here in the Houston metropolitan area, we were just concluding the building of our Family Life Center. We didn't even have a certificate of occupancy, so all we could do was stage. So people would send stuff from all over the country, and then organizations would direct stuff here, and people would come here, and we had stuff all over the first floor in there. And I would always tell our members who were volunteering, when people got what they got and they left, tell them, thank you for the privilege to serve you. See, it's a privilege when you get an opportunity to be who you say you are. It's a blessing when you get a chance to actually show what kind of Christian you really are. See, some of you think you show what kind of Christian you are on Sunday based on where you go and how you dress. But we see who you are as a follower of Jesus, not where you go on Sunday, but how you live on Monday. Doesn't matter how you shout on Sunday, it's how you serve Monday through Saturday. That's why in 1 Chronicles 29:14, he says, but who am I and who are my people? David is speaking that we could give anything to you. Everything we have has come from you, and we give you only what you first gave us. Every seed sown in kindness is a loan recorded in heaven. Here's the third and final thing. Number 3, you need to realize the Lord will compensate you for your compassion. The Lord will compensate you for your compassion. Whoever is generous to the Lord, to the poor, lends to the Lord, here's the C part, and he will repay him for his deeds. Text says he will reward them for what they have done. He says, I call you to be compassionate and know that your compassion will be compensated. The word for reward there means to make full, to restore, or to pay back in abundance. God doesn't overlook kindness. He honors kindness. God will bless you for your kindness to the poor, your kindness to those in need. And God obligates himself. And what this simply means is that the Lord will repay with interest on what you bless others with. Can I tell somebody something just as the Lord brings this to my mind? Some of you are too selfish to be blessed. You're too greedy for God to bless you. You're so determined to get it on your own that you don't want to share with anybody else And you fail to realize that it is God who has blessed you, and God has called you to be his arms, his eyes, his ears, his mouth, to be a blessing to somebody else. And he always pays back with interest. A businessman once said, every time I gave to missions, I thought I was helping them. But looking back, I realized God was blessing and building me. He found that generosity didn't just change their life, it changed his life. See, the world may forget your giving, but God remembers every act of grace you exhibit to other people. And God always settles his accounts. That's why faith is so important, because faith says, I may not have much, but what I give to others will never leave my life. It just leaves my hand and blesses me in my future. Matthew 25, beginning at verse 36. Let's read it together. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. We went to minister to the men in Harris County Jail last month. Chaplain Lewis, when we got ready to leave, was so impressed by our ministry and impacted by the presence of our men. He said, Pastor, would you all be willing to come and disciple some men in the jail? Would you be willing to come and disciple some men in the jail? And here's what I thought. I thought to myself, how many men are sitting in Good Hope right now who have not begun their discipleship journey, or have begun it and don't think they are a disciple enough to disciple somebody else? And the least of these are waiting for somebody to pour into their lives. How many sisters are more committed to looking fly and cute when there are sisters who are sitting down there who need a sister to come and show them how to be the woman God has called them to be, so they can walk out their purpose and fulfill their potential in God? He says, when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. God doesn't look at how much you give. Matter of fact, I think when God looks at our giving, he really looks at how much we keep back. He's not impressed by the size of the gift, but he is concerned about the sincerity of the giver. When you give to those in need, you mirror the mercy of God, the ultimate giver who gave his son for those who had nothing to offer in return, including you. When you bless others, God records it. When you give to the poor, it's not just charity, it's a spiritual investment in the economy of God. God becomes the borrower when his children give to the poor, and he always repays with interest. Every act of kindness carries with it eternal value in God's sight. When you give to the poor, you're partnering with God. And the best investment you can make of what God has blessed you with is generosity to those who are in need. Your hand of compassion moves the heart of God. God guarantees to reward you when you show kindness to those who are not able to take care of themselves. That's one of the reasons we shifted from having church and coming to church to what it means to be church. Because I came to understand that there are too many churches, especially in our community, that are doing drive-by church. We drive by needs, we drive in, and then we drive out, never stopping to say, why has God placed us in this community, in this neighborhood, to gather where we are? When you lend to the Lord, love pays eternal dividends. When you bless the broken, you touch the heart of heaven. When you lend to the Lord, you invest in eternity. Because every time you open your hand to the poor, God opens up the windows of heaven. When you show mercy, you make ministry visible to others. Because kindness that costs you now will credit you forever. And so my question is, not what kind of church we're going to be, but what kind of church are you going to be? Because remember, every time the word church is mentioned in the New Testament, it's never talking about a building. It's always talking about people. So don't hide under the cover of what kind of church we are. I want to pull the cover back and ask, what kind of church are you? Because God wants to do great things through you. To show the world his love and his kindness. He have no arms to hug with except your arms. He has no hands to give with except your hands. He has no mouth of encouragement to say encouraging things except your mouth. And so the question is, what kind of church will you be for the good of others, for your growth, and ultimately for God's glory? Let's pray. Father, thank you for reminding us that kindness is not wasted when it's given in your name. Help us to see every act of mercy as a moment of ministry. Give us the eyes that see the needs around us so that we can be used by you to reflect your love and your generosity. Make us generous givers. Make us cheerful helpers. Make us compassionate servants. May we live in such a way that heaven recognizes our love through how we treat the least of these. And may we hear you say, well done, based on that service. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and we say amen. Somebody give the Lord a hand of praise today. How many of you realize you've been blessed to be a blessing? Right? And I don't want anybody to leave here narrowly defining how you can be a blessing. Because your treasure is one way. But God wants you to be a blessing through your time, through your talent, through your temple, through your testimony, and your treasure. I'm going to say this. She's here today, but I'm not saying it because she's here. I'm saying it because it's what she said. I asked Principal James how she got to Foster, because I heard she came from Fort Bend County. I'm like, how do you get to Foster? The underbelly of elementary schools. This ain't the best elementary school, y'all. This is one of the struggling ones. Population, grades, attendance, in every area. How'd you get here? You know when you see somebody and they end up somewhere and you look at them and you're like, is this punishment? Like, how'd you get here? Because this is not one of the top elementary schools. This is not a place where you would be sent to be rewarded. And she said she knew she needed a change, right? Left what others would strive to get to say, I want to go back and give to where my gifts are needed. See, it's not just your treasure. It's your time. It's your talent. It's your temple. It's your testimony. That you recognize you have been blessed in totality to be a blessing to somebody else. The old song said, if I can help somebody as I pass along, then my living will not be in vain. What a tragedy to get to the end of your life and realize you have done nothing to be a blessing to somebody else. And I can tell you this, if you've lived that way, the end of your life will be a lonely life. But what a great opportunity that God has given us. Because the greatest act of kindness the world has ever seen has been the giving of God's Son. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, while we were still sinners, wasn't even thinking about God, Christ died for us. God sent his Son to die for you and for me. Not when you were at your best, when you were at your worst. And thank God he's a God of another chance. You blew through that second chance a long time ago. Forget third. Ain't no need to even counting. But every time you come back, God has given you another chance. Today, if there's somebody here who has never given your heart to God, I want to give you an opportunity to say so and say yes to God. Somebody who's watching today, there's a QR code that's coming up on the screen. And that QR code, if you scan it, you can use that QR code and it'll quick link you to how you can become part of our church family, how you can give your life to the Lord, how you can say yes to God. That same QR code should be on your outlines today. So you can use that QR code in the building or use it when you get home. And we'll contact you and let you know that God has a plan for your life. Everyone who can, if you will, stand on your feet, upstairs and downstairs, to my left or to my right. The greatest gift you can give to God is the gift of yourself. To say yes to God. To say, God, I present myself to you. Somebody, you may be thinking it's not much, but it's what Jesus died for. Because listen to me carefully. When God looks at you, he doesn't look at where you are. He looks at you and sees what you can be. You see and focus on what you've been and what you are. And God says, I see you where you are, but I see what you can be. God said to Gideon, Gideon was in the wine press threshing wheat, afraid of the enemy. And God sent an angel and said to Gideon, Gideon, you mighty man of valor. Can you imagine God saying, you mighty man of valor, and he was threshing wheat in the wine press, scared that the enemy would come and take the wheat. It's because God didn't speak to him based on where he was or how he was feeling. He spoke into his life where he would be and who he could become. And there's somebody today, God is speaking that for you today. God says you don't have to stay where you are. You can come on. You can become part of this church family. We're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. We are an imperfect people serving a perfect God, and we welcome your imperfect self to join us on the journey so that we can help each other become the best that we can be. As the music ministry sings, quickly, don't wait, don't tarry, don't dialogue or debate with the devil. Upstairs or down, to my left or my right, come on.
Give myself away.
Come on and say yes to God. We won't look at you funny. You won't have to say anything to the congregation. We'll simply rejoice when you come.
So you can.
give myself away. Oh yes,
I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
Myself away
so you can use.
Come on and say yesterday, give myself away. Oh yes,
I give myself away.
Bless you. Somebody else.
I belong. Bless you. I give myself to you. Oh, my
life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself
to you. My life is not my own.
My life is not my own.
To you I
belong.
I give myself to you. My life is not my own. To you
I belong.
I give myself.
Paul says in Romans chapter 12, I present my bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service. What a wonderful time to say yes to God. What a wonderful time to say, you know what, man, I've been trying to make it on my own. I think I've been doing all right, but I think I can do better with God on my side. If I make a conscious decision to work to become all that he wants me to be, that my best life is waiting for me when I live God's life for me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I just want to pray in general for somebody else that may want to come, and then we're going to pray for those who have come today. Father, I ask right now that if there's somebody who is teetering between staying where they are and coming to where you want them to be, I pray, God, that by your grace, by your mercy, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would compel them to come, urge them to come, to let them know, God, that you love them where they are, but you love them so much, you don't want to leave them there. Let them know, God, that you want to make something beautiful out of their life. And God, let them know that you can't do it without their permission and their participation. Somebody who needs to come right now, Lord, give them the strength to come, to grab their belongings and say yes to the Lord and come today. We bless you. God, it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask these blessings. Amen. Come on, my life is not my own.
My life is not my own.
Come on and come right now. I pray for you. Come on, you know the Holy Spirit was moving on your heart, and I prayed for you. God says, come on and come. You're upstairs. Come on. Come on and come. Come on, you're downstairs. Come on and come. Come on, no fanfare. Just come.
Self, I give myself to you.
My life is not my own.
To you
I
I give myself to you. Oh, my life is not my own.
Life is not my own.
To you
I belong.
I give myself.
Stretch out your hands to those who have come. Let's just cover them in believing prayer. Father, we thank you for those who have made a decision today. And I pray, God, for everything that they have decided. I pray, God, that you would do exceedingly and abundantly above all you can ask or think. Bless them in a special way. Let them walk in their purpose so that they can be used by you. Let them experience the ultimate fulfillment and how it feels to be used by you. Help them to learn, God, that their best life is when they live the life you have planned for them. Do it, God, and we'll give you the glory and the honor. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.